I mean, you said you played the piano at church.
Mm-hmm.
Church was real important in your growing up. What church was that?
Methodist Church. We lived beside of the Methodist Church. The folks belonged to the United Brethren because they lived beside of the United Brethren. And then when I got married then, we had the Methodist and the Christian churches. And I went to the Methodist Church, and my three eldest children were baptized in the Methodist Church. Well, then, in 3 years, they gave up the Methodist Church, and they gave up the Christian Church, and they all went together. And then they decided to not take either one of the names and decided to call it United Brethren. So then they call it the United Brethren. Well, then I took the youngest girl into the United Brethren Church, but she was never baptized in it because they didn't go for baptism, which I wish they had, but they didn't. So then when we came out here, we walked to up here on Temple. Well, that was the first church we come to was the United Brethren Church. Well, that worked out fine because then I got our letter from United Church, Brethren Church from back there out here, and we entered up here. Well, then it wasn't too many years then till they went away with the United Brethren Church, and I forget to call it I forget what to call it now because I haven't been back for years. And I quit going to church, after so many years. I worked whenever I was off from work, but when I was working, I couldn't go on a Sunday. So I went to church, and the children always went every Sunday. Well, anyway, the teacher, then she always complained about anybody working on Sunday. You know, you're not supposed to work all week, you know. So I says, when you're working for somebody, you have to work when they tell you to work. Douglas was still working us on Sunday. And her husband was working on Sunday. Well, she used his money, so what would be the difference? I mentioned that in church. I said, don't you use your husband's money? Well, she said, that's different. But she said, you're not supposed to work on Sunday. Well, I said, I don't see anything different. I said, my money's just as good as anybody else's when I turn in some money. I mean, I turn in as much as some people because I don't make too much. But I said, I do pay some every Sunday I go, and my children does too. Well, then she complained about that, and then I said, well, I kind of got tired of hearing stuff like that because you talk so often about it. Well, then the preacher, at that time, there was so many people against the Japanese, they were against the Catholics, and I don't know whether it's against anybody else or not, but he'd get up in the pulpit and he'd go against them. I object to that. I don't want to go to church and listen to anybody else's religion. I said, maybe they're all working to go to heaven too, and I don't believe in that. I don't go for going to church and listen to that. I don't like to listen to anybody talk against other people's religion. I said, we've got an awful lot of religions in the world, and I said, if God is over everything, and I said, maybe some of them will go to heaven and some of us may not. I said, I don't know about that. I won't argue on religion, but I said, I absolutely do not appreciate a preacher getting up there and going against the Japanese. Now, there's a lot of Japanese, American Japanese. They were thrown in the concentration camps, which was the terriblest thing ever happened. Because a lot of them, well, they proved, now said on TV just the other night, that there were some of the Japanese that were in the combat, you know, and they were really good to protect our country, mind you. And I said, just because the Japanese was against us, that's no sign they was all against us. Because these people, we had to go to war, but we don't like to kill somebody else. We have to go to war, but we don't like to kill off people. But I objected to that, so I just quit going. Well, my mother objected to me quit going to church. I said, I'm not going to church. And I wouldn't go. And she stayed with me for a while after so long a time. And I said, you want to know why? I said, well, I get tired of talking against other people and everything. I said, that isn't why I want to go to church. I said, I can read my Bible right here at home and read any time I want to. And so then, one day, then the preacher comes. I was scrubbing my kitchen. I was pouring water all over the floor, just scrubbing it out to the back door, and he comes. He says, Mrs. Bowman, why don't you ever come to church anymore? I said, well, I just decided I didn't want to come and listen to you talking against all other people's religion and other people. Well, he says, you come back and I won't talk that way. I said, I'm just tired of coming. So I said, no, I'm not coming back, and I never did. That's the last I went. Well, then when my doctor's son got married, he was able to get his letter from the church to go into, they went into the Presbyterian church. His wife, people was in Presbyterian, and lived near Presbyterian. So he got his letter. So then my youngest daughter, I forget what church it was, but she wanted to get the letter out of it. Well, by that time, they had done away with all that previous records that they had. There was no records for anybody, so I don't know. I said, when I die, I don't care what they put down. I said, I belong to the United Brethren, whether they put it down or not, but I said, that's what I belong to. But I said, if they want to destroy the records, I said, another thing, I think we could write back to the head of the United Brethren, and I think we could find out anyhow. But they couldn't get any letters, and the others couldn't. And my eldest daughter, she belongs to Methodist, I think, but they had to go in without the letter, a joint, you know. And then the youngest daughter, I guess she didn't belong, but her daughter joined. I think they belonged to Christian or something. And Vernon's then, they belonged to the Church of the Brethren. That is, his wife did, and the children. So if I want to go to church, I go to one of their churches, whichever they want to. But I don't go too much anymore because it's hard to go, and I don't like to sit on those hard seats because it's bad and it's hard to get into the church. And I can take my wheelchair, but I've got to get somebody to help me there and here and everywhere. So I don't go very often. I used to go every Christmas and every Easter. I didn't miss that. Now I don't go at all. I guess I'm getting to be a heathen, I guess not. But I don't go, but I still believe in Christianity. I believe in God, and I know a lot of my prayers are answered. They may not all be answered, but I do know some of my prayers have been answered. And making people say what they want to, but God knows whether my heart is. And I'm happy. I'm a happy person. And I don't begrudge other people what they got, as long as they don't harm me to get it. And I don't feel bad to think that I don't have everything. And I enjoy life the best I can, and if what sickness come, I do the best I can with it, and I go on and do the best that I can, and I try to treat people honestly and do what's right. And in my own heart, I don't have to sit around and feel sorry for myself, and I don't have to think, oh, if I just had this and that again, or had my 8 husbands back or anything, how different I would be. I said I wouldn't be one bit different. I'm that way. I've been that way for years. I'm just kind of a happy-go-lucky person, I guess you'd say. And I enjoy a lot of things that I can't go to now. There's so many things that I would go, but I can't go because so many of the children, they go other places, or the grandchildren goes other places. Once in a while, they'll come and take me places, like that picture on the there where my granddaughter took me out to the safari. And I haven't been to Disneyland for years. I'd like to go back to SeaWorld. I've never been there, and I'd like to go to the zoo. I love the animals. I'd like to go to the zoo. I could go maybe by myself, but it's not as much fun to go alone. So I go to the races, or I go to my club meeting, or I go to the family doings, or anything like that. Outside of that, I never go to the rotten shows. I say that I don't care for the shows. And what little money I spend, if I spend at the races, I haven't got too much to spend because I pay my bills. And when I get done paying them, I don't have much left. But I like to have a little recreation, so I consider it recreation. If I win anything, I'm lucky, and if I don't win anything, I just consider it recreation. And I don't let gambling get the best of me. That's another thing, that you don't dare to let gambling get the best of me. Because I don't go very often. I think I've been twice, and that's not too many this year so far. I want to go next week if I can. That would be 3 times. But sometimes I hit a little bit, sometimes I don't. But I said somebody has to feed the horses, so I might as well help feed them. So that's the way I look at things, you know. I look at it pretty good, nature that way. But that's my philosophy in life, that I go along, do the best I can, but I do meet the nicest people when I go out. Now, there for a long time, sometime back, some of these young fellas, young kids, you know, were kind of smart aleck and call you all kinds of names. I don't pay any attention to them. They'll go by and they'll say, park your car if you can't drive it, and things like that. I don't answer them. Because I think, well, as long as I don't try to start up and come back at them, they can't say anything. So they go on, don't say any more. They're not as bad as they used to be. I had a friend up here who used to ride that 3-wheeler, and the kids used to call her all kinds of dirty names and vulgar and everything else. She used to spat back at them. Well, I said, that's why they do it. I said, don't pay any attention. And I said, they'll leave you alone. Well, they stole 2 of them. Her 3-wheeling, and that's something. Oh, I don't know. I'm just sorry. When we first came out here, we never locked our doors or anything. Now, then they come and some of them say, Mrs. Bowman, you don't lock your doors. I said, I do if I don't forget it. But I said, if somebody's going to kill me, they'll kill me. That's the way I'm going to die. That's the way I die. But I hope I don't have to be bloodied to death. And I hope I don't get an automobile accident, because I do drive my car. I do drive as tough as I can. And so far, I haven't been getting any tickets. I don't want any tickets. I better hit on something. Hit on something. Hit on something. But, no, I try to drive right and try to obey the laws. If I get in trouble, I get in trouble. That's all. But my son-in-law, my youngest daughter's husband, he's a policeman. He used to say, he says, Mom, he said, don't you ever expect me to get you out if you ever get in trouble. I said, if I get in trouble, I'll get out the way I get in. I said, you don't need to try to get me out. Oh, goodness. I said, you might have to get me out of jail if I happen to beat up on somebody. But I said, I won't beat up on somebody unless they give me a very good reason for it. And another thing, we used to have a neighbor across there. He was in Corregidor, and a prisoner. His wife used to have plenty of friends, you know, and their son was about the age of my youngest daughter. He came over here every meal, ate off of us for about 3 years. Well, I never thought too much about it. So then when he got out of prison, he came home, and up here at, it used to be St. Clair's here at the corner, Circle. Yeah, I guess they sold beer and pretzels or whatever they go with beer. I don't know what all they did, because I have a drink, and I don't know what, but whatever it was. My husband used to go up there and get some beer, and her husband went up there. So he's sitting there one day, and he says to my husband, he says, who did your wife go up and meet all the time? She's always going uptown. Ned and I used to go up to shows a lot. We used to, at that time, go up to the Pike. I'd get a hamburger and coffee, and she'd get either a hamburger or a wiener, and 7-Up or something, you know, drink. And then we'd go to show, and we went to shows. Whenever I won, too, I went to shows. I come home, and I did the work, and I had to get the groceries, because Roy worked at night, and he'd sleep during the day, so I had to put in and get all the groceries and everything. And Nan and I, we'd go up to show. Well, she didn't want to go show. I'd go by myself, and I went whenever I wanted to. I didn't think I had to ask anybody. So he made that remark to my late husband. So my husband came home from there, and it was about a month before he'd hardly speak to me. Well, my late brother-in-law and sister lived with us at that time, and my sister was cooking, better cooking, you know, and I'd get the groceries and bring them in. Well, they had his help on it. Her husband helped, and my husband helped, pretty honest. And so about a month afterwards, my husband and my late brother-in-law were sitting in here, and he told my brother-in-law what this man had said, that I wondered who in the world I was meeting. I was always running uptown. Oh, but my sister looked at me, and she began to grin. I come in here, and I stood before my husband. I says, why didn't you tell him to keep the manure off of his doorstep before he tried to wash it off of mine? I said, you've seen her having those men coming there all the time, and I said her son would come over here and tell us that he wished I was his mama because his mama had men there that he didn't like those men. And I said, I don't understand why you sit and take those things off of people. And I said, you know something? I said, if I ever catch that guy out, I'm going to maul him to the ground. I said, you may have to get me out of jail, but I'm going to maul that guy to the ground and make him take that back, what he said about me. My brother-in-law laughed after. He said, Juanita, I never saw fire come out of your eyes like it did when you told your husband that. He said, we never know what one he's going to do. Well, I said, you told Melon, I said, you tell that boy that I'm going to be up on his back for lying about me. I said, he lied about me, and he doesn't know anything about me. In fact, I hardly knew him when I'd seen him. If I saw him out, I didn't hardly know it, but I think I did too. But anyway, it went on for months and months. So one day I was on the bus and going uptown, and up here, I would judge about 5 or 6 blocks, he gets on the bus. And he starts to come in to sit down on a seat, and he sees me, he whirls around and goes back up to the driver, and he asks the driver to stop right in the middle of a street, not at the intersection. He gets out of that bus, and I never saw him after that. Well, when I looked at him, I gave him a hard look. Anyway, when he started to sit down, he didn't see me until he got ready to sit down. The Roy, when he saw me, he hurried back up there. So I told Roy, I said, well, I guess you won't have to get me out of jail. I didn't get a chance to beat up on that guy. But I said, boy, I think he ran like a scared rabbit. Well, it wasn't too many months till after they moved, and I've never seen him since. But oh boy, I don't think I'd ever touch them, but I wanted to let on that I wanted to know. But I think they split up later on, and I often wondered if somebody didn't tell him how she was, because it's pitiful, though. Why did they want to blame on somebody else? And I used to have a little wagon. I got to say, but I used to go down. We used to have a store down here, and I used to take the little wagon, go down to the store, and get my groceries, pull them back. Because before, when we didn't have a car, and I didn't have a little wagon, no store here, I had to walk clear over to Anaheim and clear down to the foot of that Pacific Coast Highway hill. Clear down to the foot, they had stores, and I had to carry my groceries home. Well, I used to hitchhike. If I could somebody pick me up, I would appreciate it, because carrying all potatoes or flour or anything. It was rough, because I didn't have a car and I didn't have a little wagon. Well, anyway, so one day, the man that was riding with my husband, he lived down here at the corner. And his wife was over here at the house on the corner, way over there. And this woman and her sister, let's see, there was four of them. There was four of them. They used to go and play cards. They never worked, you know. I worked a dozen, but they never worked. And they was over there, and so one day this here man told my husband, he said, you know, my wife was over there, they played cards, and when your wife went down the street with a little red wagon, a couple of them told me, there goes Mrs. Bowman, go over there and get you something to eat now. And, I never paid too much attention, because I had to have stuff here for men, and you know, and they would eat up my bananas, they'd eat up my potatoes, or, I mean, my apples, or anything I got, cookies and everything I got for the folks to fix their breakfast, because I didn't fix their meals. They had to fix their own meals, dinner buckets, you know. And the kids would come and eat up everything. Well, Roy says, what are you going to do? He says, I'm getting so fed up with people telling me that you're feeding the whole country. I says, all right, you tell the kids to stay out. I said, you tell them what to do. I said, the place is on me. They go against me because I try to tell them, and I try to tell Merlin. I said, keep them out of the house. But I said, don't you go to somebody else's house and eat up all of them. I said, you know how it is when you hear, well, now those people never let their children come here to eat, but these others did. So I told Mary one day, I said, Mary, I said, you tell Richard that I'm going to take him as my income tax deduction. And I said, I'd like to see him keep me from it. I said, he's taken off of me for 3 years. And I said, I can prove it. And it always says on those income tax, that if you support a person for 6 months, you can take them. Oh, boy, that didn't stop a few of them. Don't think it did. Now, I told Marilyn, I said, you be sure and tell it plain. I said, I got his name down, I'm going to put it down on my income tax deduction. And I said, oh, boy, I'll be sitting pretty. Well, I wanted to tell him, boy, from that time on, and I didn't have much trouble. I didn't know what to do because my husband gets angry at me, and he said, Mom, if you don't do something, I'm going to get a divorce from you. I said, I'm not going to feed this whole neighborhood. I said, well, I don't know what to do. I said, I have to have food here for Marilyn. And I said, if you folks don't have the food to fix for your buckets, I don't know what to do. Because I said, I get plenty of bananas, I get plenty of apples and everything. And I said, I just don't know what to do when I had to work, you know. And you don't know what to do. You don't know how to combat it. Well, anyway, that put a stop to it, but I'd never take anybody going, unless I'd go out to their face and I'd tell them that I was going to. I'd tell them out to their face if I saw them. I never had a chance to tell them, though. But I told Marilyn, you be sure and tell Richard. And I said, boy, I said, I'll do it. Don't think I won't. And so she told him. And so, oh, boy, what a life if you don't meet them. And so that's a lot of my stories.
I'd like to go back and ask you more about your activities
as a child. What kinds
of activities did you do with the church, or with other kinds of things?
Well,
the games that you played, or
we never played too many games because we was at the lake, and we was in the water so much of the time. Or we'd go fishing. In the wintertime, we'd skate. I could skate with just my shoes on the lake, and we never played too many games, but at the church then, we'd have programs, you know, for Christmas and Easter and Children's Day. We always had a wonderful Children's Day program. And at school, we had, we never had too many plays at school. We used to have programs maybe the last day. We used to have you'd fix up a box of food, and then they'd sell it. at, let's see, what did we call that at the school building?
Box
social. We had box socials. And that was about the main thing, besides we children would play, drop the handkerchief, or tag, play ball with the ball some way, like baseball, our way of playing a baseball. That was about the games that we had at school. That would be at recesses and noon. Then we studied the rest of the time, you see, and we recited in school, and we'd go home after school was out. Now, that was about the main, we never had games like they have nowadays. We never heard tell of some of the games they have.
Did you read much as a child?
Yeah, I read a lot. I used to read an awful lot. When I was on the farm, I would start a book, and I'd almost finish it before I'd go to bed. And we always had to get up early in the morning, too, and I tried to go to bed at the night, but during the day I had to work, too, on the farm. And but I read a lot when I was young, but I don't read too much now because my eyes got bad. And I would have finished up school. I took 2 years in college, and when my youngest son went to school, I could have studied along with him and learned a lot from medicine, you know, and everything, and I did it. People would say, well, what pills did your son give you? I said, I don't know. And I said, I didn't know as long as they helped me. I don't know what they are. I don't know the name of them because the medical name, and I don't pay much attention to them. And even when my daughter, now she took government training as a nurse, and we was living here at the time, and she stayed at the school or the hospital that was up there, 1200, something, I forget that main hospital in L.A. That's where, but the government paid for her training. But if she'd quit on the training, then I would have had to reimburse the government for all that training that she took, which I had to sign that way. But at that time, the government was training nurses, which was help to us, because that cost a lot, you know. And, but she finished up before I ever had to pay any, but one guy wanted to marry her, and I told him, I said, well, if you married her, you have to pay it. And I said, I won't pay it for you. I said, you have it to pay. Well, they decided not to get married, but my husband had to stop that because we wasn't too thrilled on her marrying him. But I said, Pop, I said, I won't tell her she can't, because if I tell her she can't, she'll turn right on married. And I said, well, you got to talk to her, and he could talk to her better than I could. And I don't know, they listened to him better that way. And I said, no, I'll never tell her she can't do this or can't do that. I said, too many people does that. And I said, that's what causes the trouble in the world. So then they split up. Well, then the one she finally married, she went with him a while, then they split up. And then he wanted to go back there because he said she was the only girl he knew of that could cook. I let all my children cook. They could go in and they cook anything they wanted to. Didn't make any difference what. I said, if you spoil it, all right, you learn to cook. I didn't like to cook, and I told them all to cook. My doctor said you can make the best angel food cakes you ever ate. I could make good pies, but I never had too good a luck with cakes. Once in a while I did, but I never had too good a luck with cakes. But old pies, I could make the pies like nobody's business. I could make butterscotch, lemon pies, and berry pies, pumpkin pies. I could just make all those, and they turn out good. I don't know, it just happened to me. So I told him, I said, well, Eileen, I said, you don't dare to get married now. I said, I'll tell you that, because I said, I've signed a paper, Pop and I have signed a paper that we have to reimburse the government. And I said, we don't want to have to do that, because you said you'd go ahead and finish up before you ever think about getting married. I said, it's not that we don't want you to get married, and you can marry whom you want to, but I said, we just don't want you to get married till you finish up. Well, she finished up then. But it wasn't too long then after she finished, got her 3 years all in. So she married the one man. They live up at Ready now. They have, let's see, I got to think how many children, they got 4 children. They got 3 girls and 1 boy. And the oldest daughter's got the cutest little girls you ever saw in your life, and they're training them up just wonderful. They're so manly when they take them out, and they're just cute as they can be. So Joan said to me one time, she said, Grandma, I wish you'd write down what you did with your children. I said, Joanie, you're doing just exactly with your children like I did with mine. And I said, you and your husband continue like you're doing. And I said, nobody can feel bad about the way you rear them up. It makes a lot when you start with them little and keep them in church and everything. It's marvelous. and her husband works with her, and that makes a world of difference, too. You know, that's where a lot of it makes a world of difference. I think I could have my husband gone to church with me all the time, but if his folks kept their nose out, they said, well, they didn't like some of the church people because they felt like they were crooked with them and everything. I said, just because some people are that way, I said, you don't have to feel toward everybody that way. But I never could get him to go to them. Well, we finally, after I filed, we wasn't separated too many months till I was going to go ahead and file against some of them that caused me so much trouble. Well, when they found that out, then they wanted him to come back home. They went to my lawyer and talked to him, so they said, well, send him in and we'll see what we can do with her, see what she says. So we talked to a bunch on my side, it was on my side, and he's coming down the street, a bunch with him, coming down the other way, we met, right out there on the sidewalk in town. And they stopped me. One of the neighbors said, well, Nita said, you got to let Roy come home and take care of those kids. I said, what are you talking about? He said, folks have to take care of these children like you ought to. Well, I said, that's wonderful. I said, I'm glad you're telling me something that I don't know. So we talked there, and argued. I said, oh, he don't care about us. And I said, you don't care about the children. And I said, you don't want to even feed us. I said, he about tried to starve us to death. And I said, I don't go for that. And I said, someone tells me all his promises like pie crust. And I said, do you think I'll listen to him? And we talked there for, I guess an hour or so, so finally they persuaded us to go down. We wasn't only about from here to over across the street, far from my lawyer. So they got me the notion to go and talk to my lawyer. They said, well, go talk to your lawyer and see what he says. Well, he was trying to get us back together is what he was trying to do. So we went in. He had us sitting out there under the van, and we sat there. Neither one of us said a word, because we didn't know what he wanted to say or do. So then he called me in, and he talked to me a while, and then he called Roy in, and he talked to him a while. Then he called both of us in, and he talked to us a little while. So then he sends Roy back out, talked to me a little bit. He said, do you really want him to come back? I said, well, I married him because I wanted him, but I said, Mr. O'Neill, I said, I will not put up with what I've had to. I said, his folks interfered, and I said, we can never have any plans but what somebody is a-changing them. And I said, I can't go ahead and cope with that any longer. I said, they don't want my children to have anything, and they do everything against me. And I said, I don't know what I'm doing wrong. And I said, I just can't see it. And I said, he won't listen to me. So then he had me to go back out and had Roy come in. And I don't know what all he ever told him, but he never opened his mouth to me, whatever he said, but he told my sisters. But the lawyer told him, he says, if you don't treat her right, he says, I'll put you behind the bars. And I guess he told him plenty because the sister told me later on after that. But he would never open his mouth while I said that. Then he changed and he was all right. He treated me all right. I couldn't kick or anything. But he made him go to church with me. That is, he ordered him to go to church with me. And he said he wouldn't go to the church where I didn't go, but he'd go to another. So we went to Curry in the town, which was all right with me. I didn't care where we'd go, just so we'd go, take the children out of the main thing anyhow. And so then, let's see, how about, long time after, I was then talking to the lawyer. And he coaxed us to go back together and try it again. And I said, well, I don't think it's going to work, but I said, if he ever strikes me, Mr. O'Neill, I said, I'm going to fight back. And I said, I don't know what might happen. I said, I might kill him. I said, I don't want to, but I said, I'll fight him. So he might have told him, too, to never lay a hand on me. I don't know what all he told, because he didn't tell the girls everything, but he did tell them something. But anyway, a long time after he come back, and he treated me pretty fair then after that. I didn't have any trouble that way. And the others kept their nose out, because I was going to file against them if they didn't. That's all it was. He knew it then. They knew that I would. They didn't think that I would. They just thought I was just a-talking, you know. And I said, well, I'm fed up. But I said, they lie about my character. And the lawyer had told me to behave myself, not to go with anybody. Now, that's one thing he told me. Then I asked him, I said, can I take my children out of the state? That was the only two things that I felt like it was on my side, that I had asked him that if I could, if I ever wanted to. And I told him he didn't need to worry about me behaving myself. I said, I can do without sex. I said, that's what they seem to think that I can't do without it. I said, I'll show them. I said, I'll live the rest of my life without sex. Well, he says, usually when a couple splits up, he says, the man will either break or the woman will break. He says either one of them, but he says sometimes both will. And then he says they'll start, both of them are going out. Well, I heard that he was going out, but I said, well, what he does, I won't ever have to stand the brunt of it. I said, he pays his own bills entirely. But if he does wrong, he's going to suffer for it, and I'm not going to do wrong. And I wouldn't, because if I had done wrong, if I'd have started out and had boyfriends, then they'd have took my children away, and they took it away from me. That's what they're trying to do. And I said, well, I've died before. I don't have to go